Well, I've got a question to ask you all, and you may answer back if you like. If I were to ask you, and this word was mentioned twice in the scripture I've read this morning, what is predestination? Now, the Presbyterians don't have a patent on that word, but we're always closely, there's a close kinship to Presbyterians. So does anybody take a whack at it? Anybody would like to?
God's in charge.
Who said that? God's in charge. Very, very astute. Thank you. Anybody else? Everything what? Has been planned, yes. Anybody else? Well, you know what? It's not as grim sounding as some people make it out to be, is it? Now, some of you hang around with me, some know that I have a definition, and it's very similar to what was just mentioned. A few years ago, it's been quite a while back now, I was asked that question. I thought, you know what, I'm going to come up with an answer that might help people out to say that, you know, it's all in God's love that God's done this. I call it definition of predestination, it's God's perfect plan for our imperfect lives. What do you think about that? Does that sound legitimate or anything? But I think all of these that we mentioned are they're even better than that. But we have to keep in mind that God is in control. Now, when life seems like it's on the spin cycle of a washing machine, and a lot of times it is, when we least expect it, it seems like, well, where is God in all that spinning and all that? God is there. Never forget that. God never abandons us at all. And, you know, we know people, it seems, we recall people that's been in our lives in the past, in the present, maybe and in the future, who seem to overcome everything, and you scratch your head and say, how do they do it? Well, those folks are labeled as courageous or who have plenty of gumption to face what's ahead of them and what they're going through in the current, in the present. It's acknowledged that these people have several characteristics. They have a clear goal, a vision, and a perception of what they want and need to do. Now, as far as yours truly, mine's not put together that succinctly. It's not quite together. And I have to work at it a little bit. But then there should be determination in everything we do, or a drive to accomplish maybe goals that we set. You never know. I know when I was in college, my pride got in my way, and it was a good type of pride. I said I was going to get through college and I wasn't going to go home as a college dropout. And I was determined to earn that bachelor's degree, and I did. Because I just could not stand the idea, well, he went to college, but he flunked out, or he just couldn't make it, didn't have the stamina to do it. I didn't want that in my life. And so I pursued it, and I did achieve it, and with God's help and encouragement from my parents. But you know, most people that I've just described about a clear goal, a vision, a perception, they do have, nothing stands in their way of accomplishing those goals in their life as they assemble all their energy, resources, and intelligence to achieve that feat. Of course, that's the ideal, but most of us aren't quite there yet, are we? I'm recalled of a man, he was one of the leading admirals in World War II, named Admiral Halsey, H-A-L-S-E-Y. Some of you may have heard of him. He was in the U.S. Navy, the South Pacific, and he summed it up, and it goes along with this theme of being courageous and having a lot of gumption and determination or drive to accomplish that goal. And Admiral Halsey summed it up about a group of men who were called Coast Watchers. Have you ever heard that term? Well, they were an interesting group. I never knew much about them until I finished reading a book several months ago on them. They were Australians, New Zealanders, British, Americans. They would hide out on the islands in the South Pacific, New Guinea, the British Solomons, the Dutch East Indies, all those little islands, to watch and monitor Japanese troop movements during World War II. They would be in those jungles. Now, it sounds a little romantic, but would you really want to go to those jungles where it rained on you all the time and you never knew? Everything crawled in the jungles, literally. Everything grew around you. And then you had to escape being caught and killed by the Japanese. So they were a very courageous lot of people, and they really were. Halsey said something that I think is very interesting about these Coast Watchers. He said, the Coast Watchers saved Guadalcanal, and Guadalcanal saved the Pacific. But in fact, there was one Coast Watcher who rescued, a PT boat in the South Pacific near Guadalcanal, and as a result, saved the life of a future president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was Australian. 20 years later, after the incident, President Kennedy had him at the White House as a guest. So the Coast Watchers were very diligent in their duty. They watched out. Now, some were killed, yes, some were, but most of them survived. They were not professional military people. A lot of them were planters. They had plantations there in the Solomons and New Guinea. Some of them were just administrators, office workers. There were several missionaries who were involved, priests and ministers who served there. And it's funny thing about the missionaries, they took an oath that they would try to be neutral at first, but ended up they started toting a few guns with them because they got shot at some. And so they decided pacifism was probably not in their line of work there, so they went, but they rescued so many people. And those people, and in fact, most of the world did not even know about them because the press was told not to do it because it would endanger their lives. It was only a few years later that they actually came out in the news what those men did in the South Pacific. But you know, regardless of what their job duties were, we need God because He always has a clear objective, vision, and purpose, just like the Coast Watchers. God implements all His divine energy into a lot of things, in His resources and power into accomplishing His goals. Now, you say sometimes, well, you know, I think God's will was thwarted. You like that word, thwarted, in my life. God's will is never thwarted. God moves in mysterious ways. And what you may have considered originally was God's original plan for you, God had other things in mind. Reminds me of a man in a former church of mine came to me. I remember his name. His name was Jamie. And he came to me, and he was really wanting to talk to me about getting married. Well, he was going on his fifth marriage, and he just blamed his former spouses for all those mistakes. And I said, Jamie, did you ever think you might want to change your ways a little bit? Maybe you're repeating some things that you need to learn to not to do and everything. And he said, well, I've never thought of me being the culprit. I said, well, I'm not calling you a culprit. I'm just saying you might want to do an self-inventory of your life so you won't have spouse number 5 and number 6 and number 7 down there. You know, actually, he did marry. I didn't marry because I was gone by that time. But he did marry spouse number 5, and from what I've heard, he's been happily married to this woman for 25 years now. And I don't think he's going to do any more marrying unless he becomes a widow, or widower, I should say. But a lot of times, we have to look and see where we're going. I've talked to young people who are somewhat disillusioned, said they thought that God wanted them to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, and they ended up doing something completely different. I said, don't worry, I started out to do pre-law, then I wanted to be a diplomat, then I wanted to be a forest ranger, and I ended up being a minister. So it's not that God changes His mind. God changes our minds. Did you ever think about that? So if you're doing something, whether you're retired or you're active in the job market or whatever, sometimes God may have a different position for you to do, and accept it with gladness. Now, you may have to be trained, or you may have to adjust a little bit. You know, adjustment's difficult. It can be difficult because, well, I've always done it my way. Well, God may want you to do it His way for a change. And that can be a lot, there can be a lot of blessings in that. So when you're challenged, just think, God may be wanting to give you some blessings that you never even considered in life. And you know, God does have those unlimited resources. You know, whenever we think of God's plan, we should smile when He plans for us, because His will is that there will always be something good come out of it, not awful or to be dreaded. That goes back to the predestination thing. It's been used so much under doom and gloom people that they don't think that it's all God sent. And anything sent from God is not bad at all. Now, I'm not whistling power of positive thinking, but you just think about it. It is positive thinking, predestination, if it comes from God, and it will come from God. So just imagine that. So don't be steered into the direction that, oh, it's going to be a disaster for me. You're the one that can make it a disaster if you don't follow what God wants you to do. And it's not to be dreaded. God's clear and definite purpose is to lovingly adopt us so that we absolutely know that we are His children. Please focus in this scripture passage, and it says it several times throughout Ephesians, pleasure. And you don't normally think of your faith as being in a category of being pleasurable, but it is. It should be. It said in God and love, God predestined us to be His adopted children in accordance with the Lord's pleasure and will. God's plans are always associated with delight, happiness, and a smile. When you think of God's will, always apply a grin of delight and approval inside you, because His way is perfect, however, but not always understood. For the Ephesian Christians, this concept called adoption was a daily occurrence, because under Roman law, anyone could be adopted. And also in the Old Testament, there was an Old Testament concept, since no Jewish person would permit orphans to be left without a parent whatsoever. You remember the book and the movie Ben-Hur? Charlton Heston was in the movie. You remember he was adopted by this important Roman aristocrat, became a charioteer. You remember the chariot race and all that. And that was common in the Roman Empire in those days. But there's another word pops up in this passage. It's called mystery. Paul wrote, it means in Latin sacramentum, or sacrament in English. The sacraments which we have, the Holy Communion and baptism. But the sacraments are considered in theology as mysteries. We can't rationally understand the sacraments, but they are to be received by what? Faith through grace. The will or plan of God could possibly be called a sacrament. Did you ever think about that? Well, you know, the root of sacrament was be holy. So, you know, if it's God's plan, it has to be holy. But it's a mystery to be discovered, not something to be handed over simply to us on an intellectual plate. The Church of England, or the Episcopal Church, in their Book of Common Prayer, which I have a copy here, by the way, says that the sacraments are an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And I have no disagreement with that statement at all, because it comes from within, placed there by the Holy Spirit in the first place. God's desire for our lives is often the, like, have you ever seen tapestries? I had a friend of mine just recently sold a Belgian or a Flemish tapestry. I think it was made in the 14th century in Europe. Beautiful. It was about the size of two of these stained glass windows combined. Beautiful to look at. But guess what? When you flipped it over, it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo, a bunch of tangled threads. You couldn't make heads nor tails out of it. It was just crazy. It was like a crazy quilt, if you want to get. But like that, the pattern was very vaguely clear. But when you flipped it over, a beautiful scenic view of some countryside in Belgium was on there. That's the way it is from God's point of view. His plan for our lives is crystal clear. Yet most of us are on the flip side of that and see nothing but tangled threads. And we're not for sure what's going to happen. But God is sure. God knows what's going to happen to each of us. God loves all of us. And we have to keep that in mind. Even when things do get rocky, when the road gets very bumpy, God is there with us. God's eternal purpose is that we are to be His children as a part of His loving family. Now, today, a current word phrase is called community of faith, which I like that. But I think family has a warmer, fuzzier feeling to it. It makes you really feel like you belong to God. But it takes moment by moment. Many Christians still can't quite understand clearly God's blueprint for their lives. You know, we can still be devout people of faith and still not have all the right answers about the mystery of God's plan for our lives. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that, with not having it all figured out. Some people want it all spirits placed out on the dining room table so they can say, well, I know in my life that it's a step-by-step process. I'd love to have a panoramic view of seeing what God's got planned for me. And, you know, I get tickled. You've heard me say this before, that I've seen sermon advertisements. And I saw this one time on a billboard. A minister's sermon was, I can tell you what God's will is for your life. Now, I'm sorry about that, but I don't have a crystal ball. And I don't use Ouija boards. So you know what? It takes good old-fashioned prayer and Bible reading. And you know what? God will provide the insight. God will. And you know, if you ever read something in the Bible and you almost like a V8 juice, wow, it was there all the time and I didn't realize it. The Holy Spirit opens our minds up to things that we were completely oblivious to earlier in our lives. And so some people want an outline spelled out for their choices of occupation or career, a spouse, a home, or the crucial decisions awaiting them, whether to marry or search for that career or even join a church. We should seek God's guidance in all matters. And you know something else too, if you haven't heard this before, God leads us to the church that He wants us to join. It is not really a personal choice. Oh, well, we do have the decision down the road, but God guides us to the churches. I mean, you know, and I know through the years, before I was even in I was in seminary, I think I joined about three churches while I was in seminary before I got called to a church. And it wasn't because I was a church hopper, it was just that I felt like that the church was where I needed to be, a certain church. And so I joined it. But you know, God will lead us to the right church if we only pray about it. So never, if you ever move away from here, and I always encourage people to do this, find your church nearby. Don't let your church letter get dust on it elsewhere. You should join a church in the area you move to. That's a very important thing. But getting back to that, God does give us clues and signs about important decisions by giving us brains. Now, also, don't disregard people in your life, too. God can send them into your life and give you a guidepost to help you out in a direction. People have wisdom. You don't ever forget it. You may have more wisdom than anybody I know. So if you tell me something, I'm going to listen. But God will send people in our lives just for a specific purpose. And you think about that. But you know, God does give us those clues. And if we're waiting, it's like if we're waiting on some big miracle to happen, God may be sending us little miracles along the way, and we don't even recognize them at the same time. And of course, as I said, prayer is the foremost cornerstone, and it should be in our lives. This is important to do, but more crucial than figuring out the correct options before us, it is far more important to be faithful Christians through pleasant and difficulties in our lives. We can handle a lot of stuff when things are going smoothly, but when, as I said earlier, when things get a little bit bumpy, we start wondering about that. That's when we need God more in our lives than we did before. Frustrated with how circumstances are going in your life? Just keep on abiding patiently through trials and errors, and God is there for you. Remember that all things must pass. I say that all the time. And my sister always said, there's a reason for everything. And you know that saying, when one door closes, another one opens? Very true, I think that. But don't give up. That's the important thing. Don't give up. If there is something you've got a goal set upon, keep that. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. And you know what? It'll be attained down the road. For instance, Thomas Alva Edison, you know, he's one of my all-time heroes. You know, one of the greatest inventors the world has ever seen. But you know something? It was, according to his records, it took 1,000 unsuccessful attempts to develop the perfect filament for a successful light bulb. 1,000. Thank goodness he didn't quit. We wouldn't have these lights in the church. Oh, we'd have them, but they would probably be kerosene lamps or candles glowing. So remember, don't give up. When it seems like you're running out of rope, God will throw you more rope. That is the hope and determination we have. That is our faith kicking in. And heaven knows we can always stand a little more faith in our life. The purpose of God's plan and design is so merciful that He then puts insight, inspiration, determination, and divine will into accomplishing His great plan for us. It is providentially guaranteed. Let us pray. Oh, Lords, when we feel like giving up, let us know that You're the one in charge. You're the one that brought us to the place we are. And help us, oh, Lord, when we hit a brick wall. Let us know that You can make a door in that brick wall that can lead us through it. Whether we are 3 or 300 years old, You always have plans for us. Thank You for that, oh, Lord. And when we get weary, give us the strength and energy to move on, because we know that as long as You are for us, nothing can be against us. We give thanks, O Lord, through Christ our Savior. Amen.